How would you suggest some young man, you know, kind of maybe take an inventory of themselves to know whether or not they are on the path to masculinity so that they know, hey, okay, you know, I checked this out. I'm actually not doing what I should be doing, not saying what I should be saying. Any advice for young men?
Well, a young man needs a mentor.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yes, that's right. And so...
kind of like Chesterton saying that if you want to learn to be a good writer, read good writers.
Read good writers, right? That's right. And so they need mentors. So that's going to be, you know, ideally a father. And let me tell you the key with mentorship. We have, you know, men's group around the country. We're starting up these apostles of Christian patriarchy. It's really growing and it's taking off now, praise God. But teaching the fathers and teaching these young men. Some of the young men don't have the fathers, so they have to be challenged to this. You know, again, my book, Three Marks of Manhood, is, you know, a lot of these things have started up without my, nothing to do with me. They start up in different places around the country. And so now they're coming together. But they need this mentorship. And let me tell you, the key to that mentorship is this. If you're a father, is the father himself. It's not some academic exercise, because the father himself has to be engaged in the battle. He's out there battling. And again, we're battling Leviathan. We're battling the satanic state, which, you know, will, again, it will destroy us, you know, just like that. It could care less. And again, we see that now. People come to understand that the state's evil. They see what's happened to Trump or his allies, you know, going to raid your house, you know, in the morning. They don't give, you know, they don't care. They're evil. They will, you know, they'll kill you in a heartbeat. They'll destroy you financially. And all of us are on the front lines because of that. So that man has to be out there fighting and being devoted to his family and doing battle. And he's going to then call these young men and say, listen, this is not academic. I need you to join me in the battle. I need you there, at my right side, to strengthen me.
Kind of like...
be caught up in the devotion.
Kind of like Christ. When he told St. Andrew, get your brother, follow me. Put your net down, I'm going to make you follow me. But, you know, people have this image of Jesus, and this has gotten worse over the past 50 years. The artistic depictions of our Lord, they feminize him. You know, he shaved right here. I don't think he had time to shave on Good Friday. I'm pretty sure he was growing some tufts right here. I was looking at the audience. Not like me. I shaved this morning. Our Lord didn't get a chance to shave. He is depicted as being this effeminate man. But if we study the life and public times of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, heaven thank God for him. If we study the life and times of our Lord, that's the greatest example you could ever have. He goes into temples and tells them, get out. He goes into the den of the thieves, of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And when they challenge him, you know, what does he say to them? For it is written, he goes in the desert and fasts. He is tempted to take it by the devil himself to the highest mountain on earth, Mount Everest, to say, I can give you all of this. He is a masculine man. He is not effeminate. Now, is he meek? People understand meekness, Doc. Maybe you need to do a talk on meekness. Because meekness is, I have a Ferrari. It can go 180 miles an hour. I'm only going to go 70 miles an hour. It is restraint. Meekness is restraint. It is not timidity. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if a really meek man would get a Ferrari, but anyway.
But our Lord,
you might get a four-wheel drive diesel truck.
Right. But our Lord was a great example of masculinity.
Well, absolutely. Well, that's again, and that's what we go in here too. This is part of what we're teaching these men. I'm saying we don't want you to have courage based on pride and self-love. We don't want you to have a jock's courage, or not even a Marine's courage. We want you to have a courage that's not afraid of humiliation, that does what it has to do for love of Christ, love of faith and family. And guess what? Even though, because you're fighting Leviathan, you're going to feel unmanned. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to feel inadequate. You're going to be, you know, scared out of your mind. But you know what? I'm going to do it anyway for love of you, Christ. I'm going to do it anyway for love of my family, even though I'm not up to the task. Praise God. I'm not afraid of humiliation. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm going to do this for the love of you, God. That's the true courage that we have to instill in men, because that's why men don't want to do what they have to do. They're afraid of the humiliation and the failure. So let's play it safe. You know, let's just root for LSU or something, right? But you're not, because that's safe. But wait, oh, you want me to actually do a battle, the cosmic battle between good and evil? Oh, no. I don't want to fight all that. I don't want to fight the state. I don't want to fight the system. No, I can't do that. But that's the thing. If you're not afraid of humiliation, you will do that. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ had no pride, so he was able to do that. And you're right. This whole idea like Jesus was some sort of, you know, peacenik. Now people say, well, I know, but he said love your enemies. I said, yeah, guess what? That presupposes you have enemies. It's okay to have enemies. And as St. Thomas says, if you have to kill your enemy, you don't do it with hatred of that person. You do it with sorrow in your heart, but you still kill them. And there's a true warrior, a sorrowful man that goes out there and does battle from the depths of his being, not because of some egoistic passion.
That's right.
And those are the most deadly warriors.
Well, you know, and time is growing short here, so we're gonna have to wrap this up. It's a great conversation again. You know, in our talk at the Chivalry Conference in New Jersey, we had a very wide-ranging masculinity. You had the masculinity of a consecrated brother, of a religious, who had taken on the challenge of, I don't want wealth, I don't want fame, I don't want money, I want to serve God, but I want to do it this way. I want to do it through taking religious orders and doing it that way. Brother Andre Murray. We had the masculinity of a man that chose academics, Joseph Pierce, right? Who's not afraid to write anything. He's not afraid to tell anyone about it. William Shakespeare was a Catholic. Not afraid to proclaim one of many things that Joseph does as a literary figure. We had someone else that chose another vocation. I chose broadcasting. These days, and for the past 7-8 years, I'm not afraid to tell people. I've lost entire friends, families of friends that I thought were friends. Obviously, hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars per year in income, gone. It doesn't faze me. I mean, I, of course, I think about it, but I go and tackle what we do every day as an act of, you know what? God sent me into this battle. I'm going to be a Padre Pio, St. Pio. I'm going to pray and not worry about it, which drives my wife crazy in the other room. But and then you chose to enter medicine, if you will. And then do it from that point of view. So my point is, gentlemen, and that's right, and Brother Andre also chose chastity in this world saturated with sex. But my point, gentlemen, is you can choose any field. The Second Vatican Council even said our job as Christian men is to sanctify the temporal sphere.
Yes.
That's what you're calling for, Brother Dilsaver.
That's right. Religion and politics.
Back right? Where we started.
Absolutely. And all those men you mentioned, and again, for myself too, right? Because, again, I'm going against the state, the mental health system. It's just like you have to do it. All of those men are going against something. They all have enemies. You can judge a man by his enemies. What they have here, the common ingredient is militancy.